This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio and our special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Their number is 720-895-0500. It's always good to have Mr. Kurt Rogers in with us today. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm kind of hoping this weather gets a little bit warmer. The 20s, I'm tired of the 20s. Let's get up there a little bit.
When the wind gets to whipping a little bit.
Yeah. Sunday was beautiful at 75. Everybody in the neighborhood was out doing their yard.
Yep.
Raking this, aerating that, cutting that, weeds here. It was just wonderful to see that.
I was in the great state of Texas Friday and Saturday, had to emcee a Dallas Safari Club banquet there in Amarillo. And let me tell you, the wind blows in Amarillo.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's nothing to stop it. It's flat. If you get in a four-story building, you can see for like 20 miles.
I know, exactly.
Because it's so
flat. I'll
tell you
one thing real funny real quick. Red, my friend, went with me and went down there, and we're right across from the Civic Center, Embassy Suites, and right there was a ballpark. And so we were parking, and they said, "Are you here for the event parking or hotel?" And I said, "Hotel." And I said, "What's the event?" And he goes, "Well, we've got our baseball team playing. It's minor leagues for the Arizona Diamondbacks." And I said, "Oh, really? What's the name of the team?" "The Sod Poodles."
Sod Poodles.
Yeah. I was like, the what?
I'm a semi-pro ball player, and I got in the back of my jersey that says Sod Poodles.
I'm wearing a jersey that says Sod Poodle. Yeah.
Really?
I might have to
retire. Who came up
baseball
with that one?
I don't know.
Four-year-old?
Yeah, but it was funny. It was opening day last Friday for the Sod Poodles, so hope they won.
Well, I hope they sell beer at the stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, our show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Before we get to our special guest today, Douglas County Sheriff Tony Spurlock. Kurt, let's talk a little bit of things on your end here. So with rates like they are, still a good time to refi or no?
Actually, I believe it's still a good time. You know, we missed those times when the rates were down in the two. But if you look back prior to COVID, the rates are the same then as they are now. So the rates hadn't changed. COVID caused the rates to go down. They've come back. So if you were going to refinance prior to COVID, now's a good time. The difference is home values are more. So, yeah, the payments are more. But at the same point, you're able to pull cash out and pay off debt and pay off that debt that's got a higher rate that's going to continue to go up than what your mortgage is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing a lot of people trying to reach in and grab that extra $50,000 to $70,000 to $80,000, pay off their debt, put them in themselves in a better situation. So the rates are still very low, and you're still able to get that and lower your payment and be debt free.
What do you think you're going to see the rest of this year? Just hard to tell.
Well, everybody's saying that the rates are going up a half a point in May, and that and I'll keep saying this every time I hear that. That is for short-term loans. It's not for long-term loans. The bond market determines the long-term loans, 30-year fixes. Those rates kind of run along similar to it, but they're not controlled by it. So when they raise the rates in May a half a point, that's going to affect home equity lines of credits. That's going to affect car loans. That's going to affect credit. It's going to affect all those type of loans.
Okay.
It's not going to affect your 30-year mortgage. But what the bond market does is normally take a reaction to that 2 to 3 weeks prior to that happening. So we've already seen the rates start going up to account for that half point that's coming down the road. So I think rates will continue to increase. I don't think they'll if you look back when they first started, they went from 2.75 to 4% in about 3 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they took off, they took off quickly. Now they've been moving up ever since. I don't think we'll see that large increase continually for the rest of the year. I think things will start stabling out. I see rates in the 5 or 6. That's where they were prior to COVID. That's still a great rate. There's ways to manage yourself and still put yourself in a good position.
Yeah, we got spoiled there pretty good. But again, 5 to 6 isn't bad.
No, 5 to 6 not bad. But you also got to remember, how much more equity do you have in your homes? Mm-hmm. Homes are appreciating. They've appreciated 12-14% for the last 2 years during COVID.
Right.
Well, on a $500,000 house, you've made $100,000, $140,000. That money's available. There's an opportunity for you. And what we're recommending to a lot of people is, if you think the market's going to get soft and you think that you may have employment issues or you need money, take the money out now where the rates are, pay off your debt, put some of it aside. So if you get laid off, you got enough money to pay your bills.
Right.
So you've got enough money to get past any emergency that comes up.
Or if you need to fill up.
Yeah. Or you fill up. They were. It was on Channel 9 last night. They were talking, well, gas prices are going down. They went down 8 cents.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what about the 50 they went up the week before?
Gosh, it's crazy.
But it's
Lee and Kurt and his crew will be glad to help you out. 720-895-0500. It is affordable interest mortgage. Well, as I mentioned, always good to have Douglas County Sheriff Tony Spurlock in with us. Good to see you, sir.
Good. Thank you guys for having me again. I appreciate it.
You look all refreshed.
I look refreshed. I had seven, 8 days off vacation. Yeah. I dressed. I wore a nice shirt, clean one today. I had a nice vacation.
That's because you're on vacation.
I'm still on vacation, actually.
Still on vacation.
Yeah, I had a nice vacation, visit my grandkids, and so it was a good time.
Down in
sunny Florida.
Yep.
And I tell you, it was beautiful. The weather was incredible. This is the time you go down there, because I'm guessing in July, it's you can cut the humidity and put it in a box.
You know, bring it back with you.
And bring it back with. Yeah. It was beautiful, though. It was a beautiful time.
You were talking, you were down there for several days, and it only rained one day, but the rain's a little different in Florida?
Yeah, one raindrop is the size of one of those Homer buckets at the Home Depot. It is big rain.
Yeah.
And I have no, you know, I think the, I'm fascinated with the altitude
yes.
places. Just
You can and, tell it's heavier air.
Yeah, it's heavier air. But, you know, some of the places we were at was like 17 feet elevation. I'm like, but it just rained 20 foot. Where does this water go? And it's just sandy. You know, my son tell me, goes, it's sand. It goes into the ground.
Yeah,
but, boy, I tell you, it's green down there. Mm-hmm. Flying from here.
Down there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's oof. It's green. It's beautiful. But
yeah. So you actually have to put the uniform on tomorrow.
I gotta go. Yes, I've gotta go. I've gotta go back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, okay,
I'm refreshed though. So
that's what a vacation's supposed to do.
Exactly.
For you.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to work.
So when you look at all we've been through the last few years, now we're getting in the second quarter here of 2022. And I mentioned to you before we came on air, we did the International Sportsman's Expo at the Convention Center. Boy, it was great to see, you know, 25,000 people there over the 4 days. And no mask and people with families again, smiling, spending money, having fun. I mean, it was great. Kurt, you dropped by.
I was there. I was impressed. There was lots of people.
Yeah, it was really neat. So how are things looking different from the law enforcement side here after all the different things we've been through these last couple of years?
Well, you know, COVID's still with the government. COVID's still got – it still has its talons into us mm-hmm. a little bit in some areas. The courts are now opening up, and that's good. So justice can be served.
Right.
The jails across the state of Colorado still have some restrictions. We're told that on April 14th, so two days from now – those most likely will be lifted or changed from CDPHE, which jails are considered a housing facility, and because you're forced to be there, you don't get to be free, you don't get to make a lot of your own decisions on where you're at. So, you know, we're required to protect them and keep them healthy, and so they could find justice in their situation. So COVID still plays a role there. We have masks in the jail and in certain areas, day rooms
right.
and things like that. But across the state, the COVID numbers have plummeted significantly in jails. We hardly see any big spikes now. The regular illness that's in a jail is usually always there, and it's now above what we're seeing from COVID. So I think, you know, even then, hopefully the 14th will be out of it. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of this stuff, we do business as, you know, law enforcement across the state of Colorado. We're doing business like we used to. Now we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. I still think that there's a lot of cops that are taking a lot of precautions, which is smart.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of other infections out there.
Sure.
That unfortunately, people who don't take good care of themselves or who, you know, might be afflicted with something that they don't even know about, is always good to use some kind of good proper PPE.
Well, they're talking about the bird flu, for example.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a few of those cases.
Yeah. You're going to get, you know, there's always going to be some kind of a flu. There's always going to be some kind of something out there. And unfortunately, people who, and I'll just categorize the group, you know, drug abusers, they find themselves getting sick a lot because their immune system is such compromised. And then when they find themselves in a situation with law enforcement, often they do have sicknesses.
Right.
You know, they do have a number of things. And we're always very worried about TB. You know, that can be an incredible disaster in confined areas. And so, you know, we're still following all those rules. But to get back to, you know, we're going back, you know, we're doing, you know, in-person trainings, or, you know, we're doing driving training with, you know, a couple people in the car now, and, you know, no masks. And so, I mean, we're back to doing those kinds of things that we once were used to doing.
Right.
We're still doing some little modifications, but I think that we're back at
90%.
Yeah, doing what we'd have. We still have some restrictions. The key for me was, is we got to get the courts back up and running.
Yeah.
We have to have justice to be served, and that's for the innocent and the guilty. You know, we've got to be able to get them in front of the court and let our system of government and justice do its job.
Right.
Well, this last weekend was opening weekend for the Rockies. And when you see the stadiums for three solid days, you know, 55, 60,000 people.
Right.
It's like, okay, COVID what?
Exactly, I mean, yeah.
It was so nice to see so many people out having such a wonderful time. There had to be 300,000 people in downtown Denver.
Well, a lot of money being spent, and that's good. We need that for the economy, and we joked a little bit about gas prices, and you know we are at the mercy of, you know, I don't want to get too deep into a political conversation about whose problem that is, but you know we are at the mercy of that gas pump when we go do some things, and but there's people out there doing it. They're just making accommodations. I did.
Yep.
You know, we planned for it on our trip. We knew, and I think we saw, you know, $4 a gallon fuel down there for regular, mm-hmm. you know, regular mid grade driving around. Diesel, diesel's off the charts.
Yeah,
off the charts. But so we're getting back in. So law enforcement's back into it. We're back into doing business.
Go the speed limit.
Go.
They're out a little bit more.
Well, and that was one of the things. I can tell you're a little bit more active. Either you're hiring more police officers, we'll talk about in a bit, or you've changed some of their directives, because I'm actually seeing people get pulled over and getting tickets.
Yeah, well, we are impacting a lot of dangerous environments. We've had some crashes. Our crash numbers are off the charts. And I had a reporter call this morning and say, hey, well, I want to talk to you about something you said 2 weeks ago about crashes. And I said, well, people are just not paying attention. That's the reality. If they're not paying attention, people are texting and driving, and you know, and everyone thinks that, you know, well, this is my phone, I get to do it. No, you don't.
No, okay? Not in a car.
You don't in a car. And so we are impacting those, and I think law enforcement across the state is doing that. State Patrol is, you know, we're trying to keep those fatal crashes down, try to keep those auto pedestrian crashes completely. That you should never run into anyone. You know, if you're paying attention and you're observant, you should, you know, use those kind of cautions. And so we're impacting. And in Douglas County, you know, we do a lot of I've always done it for the last 7 years of being the sheriff. I always give the citizens a warning. We put a variable message sign up in their neighborhood and said, you know, speed enforcement on Tuesday. And we just let it flash. And then on Tuesday, we send the guys in there and say it's zero options here. We warned you. Because it's about affecting people's behavior about running red lights. And what's crazy, and you guys have probably seen them, used to always be able to turn right on red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supposed to come to a complete stop, everyone. Yeah, and then you look all ways, and then you can turn right on red. Well, there's a lot of intersections now that have got no right on red placards and signs.
Yeah. And I mean, it's right there, but we just don't pay attention.
And it's a big old sign, okay? It's 3 by 4 feet. And the reason why those are there is because of traffic control flow numbers. And so you don't want to impact that flow, because that flow is connected to every other computer on every other intersection. And so right on red on many intersections, you don't get to do that.
Park Meadows Mall. If you're coming from Best Buy and you're coming out to catch County Line, you can't make a right turn to get on the highway. So that light changes.
That's right.
You see people running that all the time.
And what happens is it does, we do have crashes in those locations, and so we've been enforcing those. And it's been a really interesting, you know, people, traffic tickets now, as we talked before in the past, you know, a lot of criminal behavior has been essentially decriminalized, has been reduced to such a degree that your responsibility for doing stuff has been minimized by our state legislators. And traffic is that way. But where we get you in traffic is we get you in the pocketbook. You're going to pay. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay a ticket, and it's hefty. And that money, and here's the thing, the money doesn't come to us. We don't have Christmas parties with it. I don't get a commission or a bonus on it. It goes to a variety of different places, to the state and to the county and all different kinds of places. But the traffic tickets are on the rise.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And the goal is to get everyone prepared for the summertime, for crying out loud. We're going to have people out on bikes and kids and motorcycles. And I always cringe this time of year. And I used to ride a motorcycle and loved it. I have a lot of friends that ride motorcycles. I'm always cringing when they go out and ride. And, of course, you guys know Pete Boyles, who just retired. Good friend of mine, rides a bike. I always worry about him. I say, Pete, you know, this is not the time of the year. There's sand and gravel. He knows that. He's a very experienced rider. And I always worry about people.
Sure.
Because, like you said, 75 degrees on Sunday. And look at it today.
Yeah.
You know, and we, you know, we just gravel on the road. It makes it slippery. And so we just got to tell people, you know, got to watch your intersection, slow down. And so traffic enforcement is huge. But the other thing we've been doing is impacting a lot of, there's still a lot of stolen cars out there, and trying to, you know, put a dent in that to the degree that we can.
It seems like, and not just Douglas County, but statewide, I mean, a lot of break-ins in cars. And it amazes me what people will leave in a car in their driveway, just in the seat, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they say, hey, they broke into my trunk and stole my laptop. They broke into my car and it was laying in the front seat. And
or they opened the door. Because it's not locked.
Yeah, and
listen,
everybody
leaves the garage door open.
It's in my driveway. I didn't lock it.
Yeah, and I don't like to be holier than thou. I left one of my suitcases in my car last night because it was heavy and I was tired, and I didn't want to bring it in. But if that would have gotten stolen,
it's your fault.
I'd be in some big trouble today.
Yeah.
Okay, because you don't leave things in, and people do. They forget, and you don't want to give the criminal, and that's what I'm going to call them. There are criminals that are out there breaking into cars, stealing other people's property. You don't want to give them the opportunity. And opportunity is what gets us, and I'm going to talk about Douglas County. Opportunists get us all the time because they leave their briefcase, their wallet, their keys in the car unlocked, suitcase in the back seat. I mean, opportunists will take advantage of it, and you're never going to get that stuff back. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get it back because some of it goes to the trash, some of it is reused, some of it's resold, and it's just, unless we can catch them within close proximity, this is a big metropolitan area. These guys are staying in hotels in North Glen, you know, or wherever, and they're coming down and stealing things, and so that's the... Always look around your car. Take that extra 30 seconds. Pack up your stuff that's valuable in your car. And if you're going to take it, have a little valuable bag that you always bring with you in and out. So you just got one bag that you know that you got to take, you know.
Put it in the trunk, which most people won't go in. They'll go inside the car, but not in the trunk.
That's right.
You know, through COVID and all, a lot of times, man, we couldn't get our cars registered and get the stickers on there and all, but now are you starting to, because I mean, I can just be in traffic, and it seems like a lot of the cars I see, you know, stickers are past their date. And
we have been pounding it.
Yeah.
We a long time ago, we put out to our traffic unit and our patrol, if you see a car that has expired plates, and some of these have been
6 months.
Yeah. Pull them over, get the reason why they're that way. I mean, some people are, again, they make mistakes and they go, oh, I forgot to put sticker on there.
Yeah.
You know, I got it in my glove box. And we've been writing those tickets. There were some cars that we impounded because they were over a year and they didn't have insurance and stuff. And so we've been, and there's no real reason for that. I mean, you can go, I'm just going to talk about Douglas County. You can go into the DMV and get your plates. Mm-hmm. There's kiosks and around the state, county, and so you can get those. Now, I get it. I know some people lost their jobs, but if you look at people who lost their jobs, they were in that service industry, the kitchen staff and the waiters and the waitresses and those folks. Some restaurants that never reopened again.
Right.
Yes, they did. They lost. They lost their jobs. But you can't sling a dead cat and hit a store that doesn't say help wanted.
No,
right.
Okay. Yeah. Now PETA is going to be all over this radio station. My apologies.
That's
my dad's statement. Yeah, so yeah. Chalk that up to my dad, who's alive.
My dad used to say this.
Yeah, my dad used to say this. The license plate.
No, no.
Getting your license plate completed. I got my wife's car. Forgot about it, but we still had 14-15 days last month. I walked right in, got a little ticket, was in there for like 2-3 minutes, walked out, boom.
Yeah.
It is, again, part of what our society is about, following rules,
mm-hmm.
and having proper decorum with each other and being polite. But then, again, just doing what we're supposed to do as a member of our society. And part of that is, yes, it is a tax, and yes, but it goes to pay a lot of services that people take for granted, mm-hmm. in the license plate. And it is a tax, but we, again, work, and I always remind everyone, you're in the best country in the world. There's a lot of other places you could be that would be horrible.
Sure.
And so you do pay it is a tax, but it provides a service to the greater community for a variety of different things.
One of the questions, and you kind of touched on it earlier, when have we started to decriminalize criminals? I mean, you talked about how they're lightening up the sentences. From your point of view, why are they doing that? What sense does that make for these miscellaneous, they call them small, not important crimes?
Yeah.
Somebody's been violated on a crime.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah. I would love to be in the head of a few legislators just for a brief moment. I'd like to have an escape hatch.
I don't want
to
spend a day there.
I don't want to spend a whole day there. I'd like to have a hatch to get out of. And figure out what they're thinking, because when you taken for consideration, when you steal a car, and that's someone's hard-earned property that someone had to work hard to get, and they had to work 40, 50, 60 hours to maintain it and to get it, and they're paying gas, the license plate, they comply, they got their license plate. Mm-hmm. When someone steals that from someone, there should be a consequence. And it appears to me that they just eliminated the consequences of criminal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot understand the rationale on that. Now, there are a few legislators who, in my opinion, are so frustrated with where they live and represent that they're going to affect the whole state of Colorado, as opposed to getting with their city council.
Mm-hmm.
That's in that city, or a county commissioner or whatever, and say, can we work together on resolving this crime right here? But you're going to impact the state of Colorado. You're going to impact Olathe, Colorado, with some ridiculous position that you hold because you're upset, mm-hmm. about what's going on in a metropolitan city. Why don't you, as a legislator, focus on that, as opposed to, well, we're just not going to, they didn't mean harm, or, they've been pushed down, they've been pointed at, whatever. No, they're a criminal.
Yeah.
They stole some stuff. Like I said, you know, I got lots of sayings my dad said before. I just used one to get in trouble for that. I used some more. I'd get in big. That Charlie would be beeping us. You're responsible for your own behavior. And they've eliminated it. Mm-hmm. They've eliminated it in a number of these crimes to where now it really is a joke. I mean, you're worse off getting a traffic ticket because they're going to hit you in the pocketbook right now.
Right. Instead of going to court and getting off on it.
Exactly.
An example of that, it seems like that unless it has physical harm, life-threatening, they're going to kind of pretty much let you walk. And there's this, and we all know about these catalytic converters being stolen. So I have a friend, I mean, you know, he's 28 years old. He's got a brand new truck, and they stole his catalytic converter. Now, he can't get back and forth to work. They can't find the parts to save it. He's been out of it for 2 months because they can't get a catalytic converter to go into it. He's having to Uber. Yeah. So he's thinking about trading it in to spend more money to make this work, all because somebody took a catalytic converter out. Right. And when they do catch this person, nothing's going to happen.
Right. And I'm just going to tell you, not by the inability of local law enforcement, they're probably not going to catch that guy. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that is very difficult. But, you know, where is it where we have come to a society that says it's okay to take from your fellow man and not have any consequences for that behavior? That kind of behavior, if it continues, we are in an unruly society.
No doubt.
And, again, I go back all the time, pick a country, any country on the map. And there isn't one of them that's greater than ours and our system of government and the way that we – and we're a young country.
We're not perfect, but we're
not
really
perfect.
Good.
Yes. And we treat our criminals well compared to these other countries, okay? Very, very well. You can get fat in a jail.
You get educated in jail.
You can get educated in a jail. And so I don't understand their thought process. And I've often asked them, I've testified a number of times at both the House and the Senate and committees, and I've told them, I looked at them, I said, you have the power to do what's right here, and you got elected to do what's right, and what you're proposing is wrong. And if you don't know that, you're in the wrong seat. You shouldn't be there. But I've also found that there's a lot of people just don't want to run for office anymore because it's just...
Why would you?
Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, yeah. Why?
What,
you want to be scrutinized that much? Why would you?
Yeah, and there's some good people out there that could really do a lot of good for this state if we just everyone sat down. And here's the thing: I'm a compromiser. I believe that compromise is required in this world. You have to compromise a little bit to get a little bit of that, and everybody has to sit at the table, and you negotiate, you know, a little piece here, a little piece there. If we all sat down at the table, shoot, we got people, they won't even sit at the table with each other.
No.
And so how do we resolve these very critical issues in our state?
It's either my way or you're wrong.
Yeah. And then we get hung up on all these other, you know, other philosophical opinions, and then because if you have that opinion, well, I'm not going to like you because you got that opinion. You know, we really should be, like, my job as a sheriff, I should have no interest in politics, left, right, center, doesn't matter. Rule of law.
Yeah, yours is
rule of law.
The law.
Exactly. And my opinion on things should be rule of law and public safety. And that's where we tend to start to fall off, because people will get opinions and they'll have their political opinion and say, well, I'm not going to do this because of that, or I'm not going to say this or whatever. And it always comes back and say, well, what'd you get hired for? I got hired by the people of Douglas County to keep them safe and catch bad guys. Pretty simple. Mm-hmm. The statute's pretty simple. Keep peace, run a jail.
Why did we write the law if we don't plan on upholding the law? What's the sense of writing it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
that's the simple question. Why'd we write the law? If you go 65 and a 55, the law says you're speeding.
Well, and those weren't just arbitrarily picked either.
No, they weren't.
Because you want to, again, we want to keep people safe. and we want to help. Imagine a 16-year-old driver today, first-time driver today, coming out on the street and trying to remember the rules because you're nervous, you know, make sure I do all the things you're mm-hmm. supposed to do. And all the changes of all the different things. I don't know what the heck is this. It was yellow flashing light. It irritates the heck out of me. What the heck is that? It confuses me. I'm an old guy.
It's not red. I can stop on that. What's a yellow?
Am I not supposed to go? Am I supposed to go? Or what, am I supposed to go fast? I don't know. If we don't have people following the rules, you can find yourself in a tragedy crash mm-hmm. with this young person who was trying to follow the rules, and then you have somebody else that doesn't. And there should be consequences for that person who doesn't. And we make full circle here, Kurt. The issue is that the legislators, in my opinion, have eliminated consequences for behavior. And I'm telling you, this is going to come back to bite them and haunt them and their grandchildren and their grandchildren's grandchildren if we don't fix it, if we don't make it right.
Absolutely. Tell you what, we'll give the sheriff a little time to catch his breath. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio, and we'll be right back. More with Tony Spurlock.
The physical injuries, emotional damage, and economic damages of your case should be accounted for, and sometimes that means going to trial. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law is willing to go to court for your personal injury case at no additional cost. Other personal injury attorneys will expect extra money when they take your case to trial. In some cases, they won't do the extra work at all. You deserve an attorney who will get you adequate compensation. He will do his best to get you the fair value of your case and will even take it to trial if necessary. Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law works on a contingency rather than a retainer. That means they get paid once you get the money and take the same percentage whether you take the money or not. Kevin Flesh wants more for you. Set up a free consultation with personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh to get the legal guidance you deserve. Call 303-806-8886. That's 303-806-8886.
Turn a normal day into an adventure on an e-bike.
Hi, I'm Randy Caranci, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Just try it. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
With rates on the rise, how do you get the best rate? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Did you know that when you get cash out or your FICO score is below a 740, or you're financing a condo versus a single-family home, it will cost you more in rate and fees. Many lenders are charging more. Stop paying it. At Affordable Interest Mortgage, we have lenders that don't charge. Trying to purchase a second home, or is your loan amount considered a high balance or jumbo? There they go again, charging you more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Let us show you a loan that doesn't charge more. Seeing a low rate but not reading the small print, only to realize all the extra costs and fees? Again, stop. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Quit paying fees and closing costs that are unnecessary. Get a low rate without all the extra cost. Let us show you how to save thousands. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Serving Coloradans for over 20 years. NMLS 298-191. Regulated by DORA.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio, a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, any mortgage needs, give Kurt and his crew a call, 720-895-0500. If you're just getting in the car or turn on the radio, Douglas County Sheriff Tony Spurlock is our guest today. And this is one show, Kurt. It's just great to walk in. No notes.
We
no
don't nothing. Have to have just visit. Ask yeah, a question. Let Tony go. He's fine.
Sure.
He's not afraid of telling you what he thinks.
Exactly.
Sometimes what his dad thinks doesn't work.
Exactly.
But what he thinks
yeah.
is fine. Yeah. One of the questions I'm bringing up is we're seeing a lot more guns in schools. A lot more. It seems to be getting way out of hand. In different parts of the city, there's a lot more children's crimes with guns. Your opinion of what's causing that, and how do we kind of try to get that under control? And I, before I go too far, I don't think taking guns away or saying that's going to fix it, because if you want a gun, you can get a gun.
Sure.
What's causing that?
Well, I think that this goes back to the core statement we just had conversation about, is that we are leaning towards a zero consequence in our society. And we've had them in Douglas County where kids have brought guns to school, and quite frankly, a gun has got no place in school when it's in the hands of a kid, all right?
That's pretty simple thinking.
It's basic 101. And kids are getting access to guns. And I'll be honest with you. I'm a fan of having your guns locked up or secured, because I've got grandchildren and I've seen tragedies. And so, you know, my guns have, either box safes in them or a big safe. And I think that they need to be secured from people like children who should not have access to them. And then they end up bringing them to school. And then obviously some of the things that are happening now is that we're seeing these replica guns that are being brought in, that are toys, that are they are replica guns.
Dude, I'm going to tell you what.
You can't tell the difference.
No.
Me, you, whatever, stand 5 feet away, you cannot tell.
Exactly. You know, you can get the one that's sold, you know, at Walmart, it's got the big orange thing on the front. Right. You know that, okay?
Right. But they're not bringing that.
They're not bringing that. They're bringing these replicas. And we had a case the other day where a kid had brought a replica gun to school and was showing some kids. Somebody else saw it, called. The amount of expense that it cost the school and us and the parents to figure out where that gun was at. Because here's the reality of it. We've had kids killed in schools.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With guns. And I bet you every parent out there's like, I don't want that to happen to my kid. So, and every teacher, like, I don't want that to happen in my school. So when we hear it and see it, we've got to react. And of course that is an incredible lift to figure it out. And then we figured it out, and the kid got put in the back of his car innocently enough and drove home, and we were able to figure it out. And then we were able to put everything back into place again. But if we don't do that, then...
But that takes a lot of time and money, doesn't it?
Oh, it takes a lot of time and money and energy. And so those, you know, again, there is a time and place for firearms and at ranges and at, you know, all different kinds of places on your own property. If you're hunting, there's a million places. There's a time and place for that. School is not it. Quite frankly, they should not be in our schools except for with responsible, trained people who have them on their person. And I think that we've gone amiss again from the responsibility. And I truly believe that if a kid brings a faux gun to school, a kid brings a replica gun to school, he should be punished to the maximum amount that is allowed by that school district and his parents, because you don't do that. It's scary for other people. You want to have a gun? Take your son, daughter, wherever, go to a range, go to the National Forest, go wherever, go to places where you can train them to use them properly and have that experience.
If you're going to have a child and that child gets to driving age, you're not going to let him just get in a car and drive, him or her get in the car and just drive without spending some time and teaching them some things. It amazes me why some parents don't want to say, well, I've got a gun in the house, I'm not going to tell my child who's 14 or 15, or I am going to tell them, but they can't teach them the dangers of that weapon and what it can do, just like you would an automobile.
Right.
I think there needs to be more push onto that as far as the parents go. Because if your kid's getting a gun, he's normally getting it from you or from his buddy's parents.
Sure.
Somebody needs to be made aware
of. And there's tragedies all over the place. And you know who did a great job? Sheriff Justin Smith. If you get a chance to watch his video, Larimer County Sheriff's Office, Justin Smith. He's got a great video out there that talks about weapons safety. And it's scary. You watch it and you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen here. They play out this depiction. And it was his attempt to try to remind parents and everyone else, hey, just this is like your car. This is a dangerous
It's a weapon.
Piece of equipment that in the wrong hands or improperly managed can harm lots of things. Mm-hmm. And so it's an incredible video. Matter of fact, I'm gonna try to copy a little bit of that, and we're gonna do one in Douglas County to educate folks to say, listen, lock it up, keep it in a safe place, but also educate your children about it, the dangers of it. The same thing you do, you don't let your kids. I mean, I let my kids get in the front seat. Yeah, see that lever right there? You don't pull that lever.
Don't touch that
because the car's gonna roll.
Yeah,
right. You know, and so you slowly teach them. You got to do the same thing with any kind of firearm in the house.
Which brings up my next question, and we're seeing a lot of this, ghost guns. What's your opinion about ghost guns? They want to put serial numbers on? Just give me your general opinion.
Well, I mean, I think the serial number part is just about tracking and keeping track of you know, what was manufactured. And I think that, you know, there are probably really well-intentioned people and very smart people that can build a ghost gun from scratch, and you know, that's way beyond me. I can't do that.
I can open the box and take it out, but that's about it.
That's about it. And those are incredible people that can do that. I do think that you know, we as a society have said, you know, we're going to manage certain things, and we only manage, well, we do now in Colorado, we only manage for the longest time first purchase weapons. And then that was it. And then they could be sold, you know, 3, 4, 5 times. And, you know, that serial number was attached to the first person that purchased it.
Right.
And I think that, you know, ghost guns, you know, there's no real way to, you know, track those. And I'm not saying they need to be tracked. I just think that, you know, we need to, again, be responsible. If you're gonna build one, you're gonna spend the time in doing that. Let's be responsible in how it's, you know, put out onto market.
And if you sell a gun, I mean, with our Sportsman Colorado show, Kevin Flesh, attorney, we talk about this too. You know, you're doing a transaction. I mean, back in the day, hey, I grew up in Texas. Somebody had a shotgun you wanted to buy. You gave him $300, took the shotgun, went on. You know, but now you're much better off, and it's the law. You should go to a gun store, do the transfer legally. And it's just better for everybody to do that. If you're going to sell one, buy one, whatever, do it legally.
Yeah. And because here's the other part of that is that we do have guns that are stolen, lots of them, and then they're used in crimes, and then they're found, and then it gets tied back to, you know, a person who had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's also very important, if your gun gets stolen, you want to report that to the police right away, because we'll want to make sure that if it is used in a crime, you know, it doesn't come back upon you.
Your name doesn't come in.
because again, it's wasted time for law enforcement trying to figure out who, you know, who was involved in a shooting, you know, and, you know, where the gun came from and those kinds of things. So, you know, that it's always very a touchy topic when you're talking about guns and you're talking about, you know, registering them. I have way more guns than my wife believes I have, and I have.
She's not listening.
You too.
Yeah.
You too.
Yeah. And I'm also old enough to have way more guns than the government knows that I have, because I was with you. I was able to buy.
I like that. I'll buy it.
I like that. Sure. You want to trade me for something? We traded stuff. I traded my brother a couple times, you know. And then when the law came to say we had to go to guns, I think I maybe told you, a good friend of mine. His wife passed, and he wanted me to have her rifle, and we were friends. And he goes, "Hey, I'm just going to give this to you." And I said, "Well, we can't do it that way.
Not
we
no more." Go.
So we ended up going down to a gun store and doing the transfer,
and
did it the right way, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. That was, we'd be following the rules, and it worked out. So
cool. Again, Douglas County Sheriff Tony Spurlock is our guest, and we have another segment here to go. Let's kind of talk about the homeless situation around.
Sure.
You know, you can't go too many exits off a freeway without someone standing with a sign, or even gas stations pulling up, or our stations here in Aurora and even coming here and exiting off. Boy, you see some encampments and tents everywhere and all that. So as far as in Douglas County, I mean, what do you guys see in there? How do you handle that? I mean, you see people, sometimes the same people on a corner at a gas station right. every day. So what is it? What are kind of the rules of that or laws of that?
So, boy, it is very complicated. So there are some ordinances, city ordinances, that will prohibit you from standing on a median inside of a lane traffic. Because you're distracting drivers.
Right.
And I think that there's still a state statute. I know there's a state statute. It's not applied often, but it can be for distracting a driver in a roadway or being in a roadway. And so often law enforcement will have them move off of those center medians. I see them a lot on exit ramps. Mm-hmm. So yep. they're not in the median per se. They're off the side, and they just walk up and down next to the cars that are parked. And so there is no law against that, or other than maybe some city ordinances that might be okay. enacted. But there is no law on that. But that I don't want to call it an industry. That's huge.
No.
It's huge. And in certain places, it's very, very, very big, and it's very, very lucrative for some of these people. And you know, I'm all for, you know, I'd like to tithe. I like to give, you know, some of my money for people who are in need. But, you know, some of these folks, that's their job. And what frustrates me is I come up those intersections and I'll see them, because there's a couple of them that I drive by all the time. And then there's just a pile of trash. I said, look, if you're going to work, clean up after yourself. Mm-hmm. And I've actually stopped and talked to them. And said, clean up after yourself, keep a trash bag and take it to the trash can. And if you get people who give you a 5, 10, or whatever, then that's your job. It's not against the law. You can stand here, and I'm gonna move on. But you're littering now.
Yeah.
And I know that you're here. and so it is an issue, and I know a lot of communities are struggling with it. A lot of communities are struggling with this no, or you know, camping on public property.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit more different because I think they are trespassing. I think that there are some issues, and we're dealing with it in Douglas County. You know, the homelessness is a little bit different than someone on an intersection.
Different categories.
There's different categories. Yeah. And I think that all of those need to be addressed, you know, individually and appropriately. But currently there's not a lot that can be done other than – if you want to give to a charity, give to a charity. But you know, continuing to give to people that are at an intersection, I get concerned when I see families there, mm-hmm. and I've stopped and said, mm-hmm. you know, where you stand, you have young children here, so Health and Human Services can be applied, and are you properly feeding the child? Is the child been properly taken care of? And quite frankly, I have grandchildren, 5 of them. I would not want them standing in the middle of an intersection, mm-hmm. okay, running around and playing when cars are coming. And I know that every third or fourth car is not paying attention because
sure.
they're texting.
And the child's definitely not.
And the child's definitely not. So I think it's a dangerous environment, dangerous situation, and we try to impact those. And I think those are – You see fewer of those because I think there are some laws that we can't apply to say you can't do that. It's mm-hmm. dangerous, and it's contrary to public safety.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, there was a big push for quite a while, and I think it's kind of subsided, the you know, defund the police. How's the morale of the police officers in Douglas County? Because that's the ones that you kind of control.
Sure. So
what you see.
Yeah, I think our morale is very, very high. They obviously, I mean, they should be. They get paid a lot of money, and they have some great benefits and some of the best equipment.
Well, they were getting beat up pretty bad there.
They were getting beat up, and we still get beat up across this country in certain places.
Yes.
But we are doing well, and the morale is high in Douglas County and in law enforcement collectively with the chiefs of police. I meet with them every other month, and we have lunch and talk about what's going on in their jurisdictions. And so I think that is I live in a blessed community. People take very good care of us. They bring us cookies and sandwiches and all kinds of different things.
Buy us
lunch.
Our church has done that for
That's
you.
Right.
We bought
yeah.
you lunch.
That's right. And so, you know, we are blessed. And I think there are other jurisdictions that aren't as blessed as we are.
And with the defunding of police, there for a while, there were a lot of officers leaving. Are they now starting to, are you getting more back into school, starting to replenish what you've lost?
No, we're still having a real difficult time. The recruitment is incredibly difficult right now because we are now competing with, taking consideration the Denver metro area, we're competing with a lot of different places. And now everyone, it's chase the dollar. And I don't mind saying it. I've talked to the chief. The Parker Police Department is the highest paid law enforcement jurisdiction in the state of Colorado today. They start their cops and end their cops higher than anyone else in law enforcement in the state of Colorado. Hmm. And they're doing it so they can keep their cops because, you know, it's not a big agency.
Nope.
And so a lot of them will migrate to Lakewood and Jeffco. We hire some of them, go to Aurora, Colorado Springs. Some of these young cops, they want to work in these big cities. And so they'll go to a jurisdiction like Parker. And who's not a small agency, you know, they're a pretty good size agency as well, but they'll get the training and then they migrate out. And so they want to keep them and you want to keep your good cops. And that's what we're doing. But every jurisdiction that has the ways and means is doing that. And so I'm telling you right now, it's a lucrative business to get into. If you're listening to this station, you want to be a police officer. There's lots of law enforcement agencies that are interested in hiring you because we're looking for good quality men and women that are interested in serving their community.
What's kind of the age range? How can you be too old to be hired?
Well, yeah. In some jurisdictions, they do have a...
I'm not going out.
Some jurisdictions, they do have a cap.
Okay.
I've got a lot of 50-year-old cops that are, you know, very healthy because, again, we give them they have two gyms and they got a lot of resources and available to them, and so we encourage you to be healthy. It's funny, though, we're not the real young cops like that used to be in, not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. We're getting folks that have changed careers, and maybe they were in something else. They said, oh, I'm going to try this, and now they're 29, 30, 32, 33 years old getting into this business.
And did you get a lot of people from military normally that would come over?
We used to get a lot of folks from military. Now, we actively recruit for military.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
But they're getting drawn from other industries mm-hmm. as well.
Because they're very disciplined.
Yes.
They know how to work.
Yeah. And so it's a battle. And like I said before, there are a lot of jobs open in this state. Some of them, you know, we're paying $15 an hour. We're going to pay you a lot more than that, but you're going to have a lot more responsibility.
Right.
And, you know, our recruitment, we've had to increase our recruitment. We're going to colleges and universities, and we have job fairs, but I guarantee it, we'd turn to the left and to the right, and there's another agency sitting next to us, and we're all competing to get that, you know, very small handful of law enforcement.
You're facing the same problem most people, employers are trying to find quality people to come into the position.
Yes.
And I mean, it seems like they say unemployment's down, but we still need more people. So the numbers don't, I just think there's so many people decided they don't want to even work anymore.
And boy, that's to make my head scratch. I scratch myself on that. But there are so many people that just, I'm not going to work anymore. And I'm like, I don't know. Are you hungry?
Yeah.
I'm hungry. Yeah. I enjoyed driving through the Starbucks this morning because I got a job.
Because I can.
And I think that there are, sadly, you know, in the service industry, there's a lot of people that just walked away from the jobs. But I also know it. There's carpenters. They're short on carpenters,
plumbers,
short on plumbers.
Electricians.
Anybody with a technical skill can't find anyone that wants to do that job.
Sure.
And because it takes some discipline to do it, and it takes some time to get the skill up to do those things. But there's...
And they pay so much better now than they ever used to.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. And it's honorable work.
Yes.
It's great work. But even some of my friends are like, yeah, we can barely find people. They're hiring somebody that'll do, hey, will you just do this job?
Sure.
Will you do those jobs? They're hiring the people just for the job, not for the career, because they can't keep them long enough because they got other jobs.
Yeah.
And I tell you, you know, I mean, it's been tough on everybody these last few years, but man, I love walking up and seeing maybe a couple cops in a place eating or something, just walking up and saying thank you. And if they hadn't ordered yet, you know what, buy them lunch or something. You know what I mean? And just thank them for what they're doing because it's a tough job. And I'm telling you, you know, did a ride along several months ago that you set me up on and had done a couple before. But man, you do not really understand when they pull a car over, they call in a plate or something, they step out and walk up to a car, and it may be 3 a.m, 4 a.m. And that next 15 seconds could be life-altering. You do not know what's going to happen next. And, boy, they're out there doing that every day for us to help keep us safe.
Man. You know, and I keep track. I've got the app that notifies me of a police officer killed anywhere in the United States. And I do it because it's, you know.
It's what you are.
It's what I am. And it's just tragic. To read some of the stories and you see like exactly what you were saying is that one minute it's this and the next minute. And when I was in Florida, I was being told the story of the small little community we were at. They had lost an officer about 4 or 5 months ago, was shot on a traffic stop, and it devastated the community because it was small and things like that just
everybody
didn't happen.
Everyone
knew him, and those things do happen, and I encourage everyone. I do it all the time. I saw a sergeant at a gas station. I walked up to him and said, hey, how you doing? You know, thanks for watching over us. And so he starts questioning me, like, who are you? And so we started having this conversation. And I encourage everyone just to walk up to the police officer, say hi to him, you don't have to buy him anything unless you see me. I'm always good for a Starbucks coffee.
You can always buy
Tony. You can always buy me a Starbucks coffee or any kind of coffee. But just law enforcement has been taken.
They're people.
Yeah, they've been taking a lot of beating, and they're regular folks just doing a job that's a little bit different and very complicated today. And I say we do full circle in the show. The legislators have made it incredibly complicated to be police officers today.
Yep.
And so when you see them, pat them on the back, say thanks. I wave at them all the time. I think they're probably like, who's that crazy guy? You know, but that's just who I am. I've been doing this 43 years, and I just got a fondness for police officers.
And this is your last year. You're retiring in December.
And this is my last year. I retired January 10, 2023.
Okay.
Will be my last day.
We understand that. So we got to do this a couple more times.
We got to do this a couple more times.
We appreciate having you on
the
show, Tony.
Thanks for your time. Kurt, thanks for setting this up as always. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. And, hey, somewhere along your way, next few days, cross a cop's path or probably first responder, whatever, just walk up and thank them for what they're doing for us. And I know they'd appreciate that as well. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.